Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Qur'an Hakim stated, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. This is an announcement from Allah, and in the details of this announcement, Allah Ta'ala has given the definition of this announcement throughout the Qur'an, the detail of this announcement throughout the Qur'an, that insan, the human being, his success only and only is upon this point. And what is that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkams, to fulfill Allah Ta'ala's orders and instructions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And how should we do that? How should we fulfill the commandments of Allah, the instructions of Allah? وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. It's Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Allah Ta'ala's instructions, and the way we have to fulfill Allah Ta'ala's instructions or obey them are in the way, the manner described to us, shown to us, demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we do this, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah says, not only will you be successful, but it will be a very big success, a massive success. And what does this mean, a big success? The pious elders have stated that a person, for example, sees success, but he will start to see the rays of success or the proof of success at the time of maut, at the time of death. The individual will realize that I am successful with the fadl and the blessings of Allah, with the grace of Allah, because he will leave this dunya and life in this will end. And the person who is successful, from the first stage Allah Ta'ala will show from the time of death onwards that how successful that person is. And the stages after that, the different phases that come after death, on every phase, on every step, then success, it embraces and kisses the feet of that individual who's passed away. Because that person has passed away and he succeeded. And even the most severest phase in the hereafter, the individual who succeeded will pass every test and challenge without any issue. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. To this extent, that person who succeeds, will succeed at the time of death, and he will succeed in all of the tests and challenges and steps and phases after death, and he will go into paradise, he'll get success, and he will get the mansions, the palaces, the rewards of paradise. Allah Ta'ala's promises will all be fulfilled, and still there's a success beyond that that person will get. For this reason, because وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, he obeyed Allah and his Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what will be that big success even after all of these successes and rewards? Will be the sight of Allah, when that individual will get to the sight of Allah. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah says, and he has already attained to a mighty triumph. So what is that? فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. The mighty triumph is the sight of Allah. And this is due to obeying Allah. Because Allah says, and know, whoever pays heed to Allah and His Apostle, whoever obeys Allah and His Apostle, will get this success. That's the conclusion, to get the success of life. So to get to this success, Allah has made many paths, many techniques, many methods. And Allah says, I don't want to give you distress and difficulty. Take all of these paths and methods and techniques I've given to you and get to this success, this mighty success. Subhanallah. And in comparison to this, in opposition to this success, the obstacles to get to this success are shaitan and nafs. And they are the two forces that restrict us or try to put obstacles in front of us, hurdles in front of us. Allah Ta'ala has given them strength and power. The nafs has strength and power, and shaitan has strength and power. Now what we need to see here is that the man, when he starts to follow in the path of Allah, and tries to get close to Allah, the nafs and shaitan try to grab hold of him, and they try to distract him. They spoil his deen, they insert restrictions and hurdles and obstacles in his deen, and he's not practicing the pure deen. He the shaitan and nafs will distract that person, take him off track. Somebody's mamulat will be spoilt and contaminated, and the person will go into deception. But Allah Ta'ala said, I've announced that bisilmi kaffa, they come into the deen totally, 100%, total, complete. That we should do total obedience to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not that we practice sometimes, then we leave, then we do a little bit, then we do a bit more. No, this was like this, so I'll do it like this. No. Faqad faza fawzan adhima. What? How will a person get success if Allah Ta'ala said that stop something, it's unlawful? Then we don't see, what is it, where am I? No, totally, this is Allah Ta'ala's hukam. He's told us to refrain, so leave. And if Allah Ta'ala tells us to do, then we have to do. And if Allah said hukam to stop, then stop there. And this is the biggest challenge for the insan, that وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ to obey Allah and His Rasul. Otherwise, it's very easy for us to do what we want, leave something when we want, do something when we want. When there's thawab, do it. If there isn't, don't do it, etc. No, Allah Ta'ala says the life of the mu'min, it's within a circle, within the boundaries that you have to implement, and then you'll be successful. وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says that don't come out of that boundary, that circle. Don't follow actions. Don't implement actions out following your desires and opinions. That's when you will succeed. And this is the masala. So now, if a person is influenced by nafs and shaitan, nafs will say, oh no, you can do this because you're doing other actions like this. So what difference does it make? And shaitan, he will also try to influence. This is where a person will fail. If a person considers to himself to be a failure due to the whispering of shaitan nafs, they try to make him feel like this so that he runs away from himself. Oh no, why did I do this? Oh, it's too difficult. Oh, I don't need to do this. I don't want to do this. And then the person runs away from the actions of deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a path, and Allah has given us many paths and methods that if you take hold of these methods, you will get close to me, to the mighty success. One hadith I'd like to present in your service, that when Qiyamah will be established, the day of judgment will be established, and the Jannatis will reach to paradise, and the people of Jahannam will go to Jahannam, to hellfire. What will be the mahal, the environment in paradise? There will be a unique feeling and emotion that will overwhelm and overcome the people in Jannah, the Jannatis. In the hadith, the meaning of the hadith is, there will be such a place in Jannah from where a lot of light, will come down to those people of Jannah, paradise. And there will be rays of light coming down, layer by layer, to the people of Jannah. And the people of Jannah will see this light, and they'll say, who are these people? Where is this light coming from? And there'll be a qawm, a nation, they say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. There'll be a qawm there, and it will have they will have arrived, a nation, a group of people who have arrived to Jannah. And obviously, nobody can get to Jannah who doesn't do amal, or who doesn't implement this formula, which is what? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala said that success is only for that individual who obeys Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and completely, not partly, not a little portion, or in this country I'm like this, another country like this, in Saudi I'm like this, in Pakistan I'm something else, when I go to America then I'm different. No, Allah Ta'ala's instructions are everywhere the same. Consistently, the individual has to practice, and wherever a person goes in the world, a Muslim, he has the noose of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's deen there around him, so that he practices it wherever he is in the world, to obey Allah, to follow the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to obey Allah's ahkams and implement them. So if I'm praying Salah, I'm praying Salah, yes. But if I'm not practicing praying Salah according to the Sunnah, then I cannot define that as Salah. That is not the correct Salah. If I'm doing Hajj, but Hajj is not according to the Sunnah, then that cannot be Hajj. Yes, this is for all ibadah. Wherever there's a bit of contamination mixture, then that's it. That ibadah is spoiled. Allah Ta'ala has said clearly, ibadah, worship, will be worship, classed as worship at that time when it's according to the sunnah of my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The ulama, the respectful scholars and pious predecessors have defined this to us as the deen. So there will be a group of people in Jannah, in paradise, on a high maqam, on a high level. Who will be those people? Obviously, they will have attained success, that they have got into paradise. Without getting success, they cannot get into paradise, can they? So the Ahlul Jannah, the people of Jannah, will look at a group of people high up, from where the light is raining down, and they'll look up and say, oh, let's see what kind of people these are in Jannah, paradise. And when those people who are high up look down at the other people of Jannah, when they glance down, then from their faces such light will emanate and be emitted, such light and nur will be emitted from those people in Jannah who are very high up. And when they look down at the people below them, then the people who are below them will see nur and light coming down from the people, their faces, from the Jannatis who are high up. And there will be so many places from which the nur and the fairs and the blessings and the light will be emitted from those who are in Jannah high up. And the people in Jannah will say, oh, they must have done great deeds, that they've got a higher maqam than us, and they're looking down us from where the light is coming, just from their glance. And they'll say, Allah, show us who are these people. Who is this qawm? Let us go and see who are these group of people. What deed did they do to get this success? So then, at that time, with the hukum of Allah, with the order of Allah, then the people of paradise who are lower down, they will travel higher up just to see who are these people who are higher than us and what deed did they do. Because Allah Ta'ala has given them many passes, as I said, many methods that should be implemented, which will give the success that we are discussing now. So the people of Jannah who are lower down will want to see what deed did they do to get themselves a higher position than us. So when the people from lower down will reach higher up, just to witness and see those Jannatis who are high, mashallah, and the action due to which they reach to the heights, they won't need to ask those Jannati, because all those people in Jannah who are higher up, due to their light on their faces that will be emitted and come down on their faces, it will be written. Allah will show on their faces, it will be written, that what deed did they do. And it's from their own faces, same faces, that the light will be emitted, the rays of light will reach down to those people low down, and it will be written on their faces. These are those people who, due to me, Allah will say, or due to my beloved servant, they loved my beloved servant, due to me, for my sake, Allah. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. So they obviously took hold of this path, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pious servant in the world, for the sake of Allah, they took the company of that person. Remember this statement, for the sake of Allah. When an action is done for the sake of Allah, then there is no link with the dunya. Obviously, you have to depart from the dunya, or detach yourself from the love of the dunya, to get Allah's love. So it will be written on their faces that these individuals, they loved a servant, a pious servant of Allah, for the sake of Allah. Allah instilled into their hearts the recognition, appreciation and love for the pious servant, the wali of Allah, and subhanAllah. And due to this, they then went on to the path of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, due to loving and appreciating and respecting a pious servant of Allah in the world, Allah Ta'ala gave them these rewards, subhanAllah. So this is also a great ni'mah of Allah, that if a human being, a Muslim, loves a friend of Allah, a pious servant of Allah, and he makes a connection with that pious servant of Allah for the sake of Allah, this is all for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of that individual, then that will be a great connection indeed. So how will that person then get onto the path of Islam easily? Because when you love a pious servant of Allah, a wali Allah, a friend of Allah, Allah says there's a lot of barakah in this action. There's a lot of grace and mercy of Allah in this action. That when a Muslim loves a pious Muslim, another pious Muslim, obviously before that he doesn't know who that person is or isn't aware of that individual. But when that Muslim has an objective, I want to please Allah, I want to get close to Allah, then himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself at that time, Allah says, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, that all of the practice and actions of Atiullah and wa Atiur Rasul starts to come into the life of that person. SubhanAllah. And Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So this is the result of having the connection and the company of the pious person. So what happens at the end of the day when a Muslim has love for a friend of Allah, sits in the company of the friend of Allah, and adheres to the company of the friend of Allah, listens to the words of the wali Allah, the pious servant, the friend of Allah, then Allah says, due to these actions, then all of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul comes into the life of that Muslim. He starts to leave sins, he starts to go towards good deeds. Obviously, if a Muslim is going to the company of a wali Allah, then he will have these qualities. He will be praying salah, not lying, not backbiting, not committing fraud, and he will practice sunnah. That's why he's the beloved servant of Allah. Otherwise, why will Allah say that he's my beloved servant? That Allah Ta'ala will not define a person who's a sinner or a fraudster or a person who's not practicing deen as my pious servant, as my friend. So when a Muslim goes to the company of a pious servant, a pious friend of Allah, and sits in his company, adheres to his company regularly, then due to the company of that pious servant, Allah Ta'ala says that all his good qualities and characteristics rub off onto that Muslim. Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Faruqi Sarhandi, rahmatullah alayh. He was a great personality in Silsila Naqshbandi Mujaddidiyya. He is the head of Silsila Naqshbandi Mujaddidiyya, the series of Naqshbandi Mujaddidiyya sheikhs. He is the head of these sheikhs. And he was such a great sheikh, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Thani Ramadhan. The Hazrat Ghaus Pak was with his Jamaat at one stage. And he was in some isolated sort of place in the wilderness, and at the night time he saw that the whole place became surrounded with noor and light. Light was there, emanated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the light and the noor at that time. When his colleagues, his murids, asked him, the Hazrat, what was this? What occurred here? Why did the light suddenly come? Then he stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed to me, demonstrated to me, that after 450 years after today, this Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani Ghaus Pak saying that 450 years after me, a great personality will come to the world. And at that time, the whole dunya will be running after actions of kufr and bid'at, innovation and sins, 450 years after me. And Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to understand that 450 years after me, a great sheikh will be born, due through whom the whole of the deen, the sharia and sunnah will become ahya, revived. And who will be that individual, that personality? Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi Rahmatullah. This was the good news about him. And it stated that this is my cloak, keep it, my garment, and when he comes, then pass it through the time, and then this garment should be given to Hazrat Sheikh Farooqi Sarhandi. So when he came to the world, then Hazrat Sheikh Farooqi Sarhandi was given that cloak, that garment of Hazrat Ghaus Pak, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani. So when he came at that time, that was that generation that he mentioned, the Akbar, the King Akbar of the Mughal dynasty. He spread a lot of fitna around the world. So Hazrat Sheikh Farooqi Sarhandi stood up firm to revive deen, and the order was given by the King Akbar that imprison him. 3 years he was in prison. This wasn't like the prison of today, ease and comfort. These were difficult prisons, hardship, hard labor. And after 3 years, the situation changed and flipped, and the king realized that this is not the case, rather this is the opposite. And he sort of came into hardship at that time. He realized he was making a mistake. Then he went himself to ask for forgiveness in the jail towards Hazrat. And he said, Hazrat, please forgive me. And he asked for forgiveness. And then he came back. He said, I made a mistake, please forgive me. So when he asked for to be excused, he said, there are some conditions without which I will not leave. And he said, what are your conditions? And he gave 11 or 12 conditions. One of them was very unique and peculiar, that there's a very great Jamaat of the Awliya with me in the jail. That before that they were thieves and bandits and criminals. Where did the Awliya come from into that jail? But he said, there's a big Jamaat of Awliya with me, kathir, a lot of them. And if they are released along with me, only then will I leave this jail and you'll be spared from your hardships. And the king was shocked, the Awliya Allah, friends of Allah, in the jail. He said, okay, fine, you can take them with you. And when he came out of the jail, Hazrat Sheikh Farooq, Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi, and those same people who were in the beginning, when Hazrat Sheikh went into the jail, they were thieves and bandits, criminals. But they, after 3 years, left that jail as walis of Allah, pious. Their faces had changed, their lifestyle had changed and improved. And they had reached this high maqamat, high levels. They were khalifas and deputies of Hazrat Sheikh Farooqi, Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi Rahmatullahi, Mujid al-Laftani. Due to that company, that blessed company. Some of the brothers, this is the generation we're in now. We don't strive, make effort, we are weak. And it's the generation of fitna. And we implement weak deen nowadays. But the deen is the same that Allah Ta'ala established many, many centuries ago. And the same deen we need to practice. We have to save ourselves from haram, follow the deen of Rasulullah SAW, and go towards good. And maybe we live here or Pakistan or another part of the world. Everywhere the deen is the same. If you see bad things or sins, they're everywhere in the world. Whichever country you go to, the standard is the same. Maybe the direction changes a bit. Oh, that's a dirty country. Oh, that's not a good country. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to good, I'll open the doors of goodness for you. In this country, our young children and youth, they sit in masjids, they sit in itikaf, don't they? Don't they leave and go migrate away from sins? They come out of places where alcohol is consumed in abundance, and they come towards goodness, don't they? And in the same way, you can go to a country, so-called Islamic Pakistan. I can show you thousands of youngsters at the night time. They'll be spending time consuming alcohol or implementing sins. So this is not the case that there's environments only deen can be implemented. A person, wherever he lives, he should not lose hope. He should be his objective in front of him. This is not our life. Our life is one. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And death can take me over at any time. And there was a buzurg, a pious elder in a certain location, and he used to do dua. And he did dua that Allah give us rain, we've got drought, our crops are dying. And he said that our animals are dying of thirst, Allah give us rain, Allah give us rahmah and mercy so our crops can grow. People do dua, isn't it, in drought or when there's dry weather. So his dua was ajeeb and unique. He said, Allah, that please be merciful on this basti, that please send your wali to this environment so that your rahmah, mercy, it rains down. And we do dua, Allah, that I do dua for this, that please send your pious servant to this village and locality so that your pious servant, your wali, I know that when a wali wala comes here and he lives here and makes this his abode or comes here for a while, then the rahmah, your mercy will rain down. So can we not even do this dua? Can we even make this prayer to Allah? Can we even take these steps? Okay, we are weak, we don't pray tahajjud, and we cannot recite Quran, we cannot learn ilm and knowledge, even all, despite all doors are open. But at least a human being should try this much. At least we should try this much and shake ourselves down this much. That, okay, if I can't try to leave the sins, but at least make this good dua to Allah. Is it difficult to make dua like this, a good dua like this? Explain to me. Is it? It's not difficult. Is this not difficult at all? Totally not. That an individual makes a dua and such a dua, Allahu Akbar, that dua in which Allah Ta'ala, he's saying, Allah, I ask for your nearness. I'm asking for your nearness, Allah, so I can obey you. So will Allah Ta'ala not accept this dua? This is impossible. It's very difficult that Allah will not accept this dua. It cannot be that I can personally share with you various incidents in my life that Alhamdulillah, I've seen those individuals who made these duas in the masjid, who asked for this from Allah, and straight away Allah Ta'ala gave them success, straight away, immediately. I've seen this in my life. Hundreds of thousands of issues and problems and sins surrounding. But they said that it's difficult for us to leave Allah. The sin, I smoke cannabis, I commit sins, I run after females, I commit sins in the night, I get up and watch immodest pictures and images. Because we are living in this sort of generation and environment. But if a person, a Muslim, makes this dua, that Allah, give me your mercy, Allah, show me the way to your friend, so at least I can take his company, so that he can do dua for me, so that I can put into my heart the love for your friend. Not just do dua, that Allah, I want to find your friend, etc. After this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's your job to ask for dua, it's your duty and Allah, to make dua. Allah says it's my job that I will fulfill your dua and take you to my pious servants. But we don't even try. We have no fear of death. We have no fear or grief that death is about to come when we commit sins. We don't even think that what will happen to me after I die. Such a big verse that a person, Allah Ta'ala says that even an atom's weight of good deed, I will look at it and assess it. And even an atom's weight of sin, I will assess it. So Allah says, do you understand that? Why is Allah Ta'ala giving the example of sin and bad actions? Oh, we say it's only a small thing. This won't make any difference if I sin. It's only a little bit of a lie I made. I prayed Salah, didn't I? It's only a little lie that I said. No, this is incorrect. This is the deception of shaitan. These two forces of shaitan and nafs that are destroying us. Allah says that not even an atom's weight of a sin will be ignored, and not even an atom's weight of a good deed will be ignored. So big amal that we are doing, or we should be doing, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you rewards between the heavens and the earth if you do the good deeds. Is this a small good reward? That if you pray Fajr Salah in the morning, and after Fajr Salah in the morning, just 20 minutes if you sit down, Allah says, I'll prepare for you. Say Subhanallah. Allah says, it won't be your preparation. Allah says, I'll prepare for you the food. I will put the food mat out on the ground, and you sit down 20 minutes with that jamaat, those group of people, the dhakirin who are doing dhikr, and do dhikr with them. Allah says, I'll show you the way to that gathering, to that majlis. And I cannot tell you the rewards of that practice. How many rewards a person earns just for 20 minutes of dhikr. But Allah says that this is to do with doing good deeds. And Fajr Salah, pray in the morning. And after praying Fajr Salah, the Fard, and look around, if you see a jamaat doing dhikr of Allah, sit down with those group of people who are remembering me. After sitting with them, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala says, get up and pray two rak'ah nafal in paying gratitude to me, and you won't even leave that place, and I'll give you the thawab of one hajj and one umrah straight away. And obvious, Allah Ta'ala has explained the rewards and the fadail and the virtues, but we don't do amal on this. We don't do amal on this. Such small deeds from morning until evening, stacks of them, thousands of them, Allah Ta'ala has opened paths to his nearness for us, but we don't practice. So we can gather as many good deeds as we want, and this all we have to do within a short time span, a restricted time span. We came to the masjid, it was Maghrib time today, wasn't it? And that time's about to end. And how fortunate is that individual who in this small amount of time, he accumulates so many good deeds. And in this time of good deeds, how many people have wasted their time? Oh, how are you? What are you saying? What are you doing nowadays? Oh, what work are you doing? This same time while we're here, there are many individuals who have stood at the door of the masjid and they have a gossip, a chit-chat. How fortunate are those people who came back, they saw the majlis. Who are these people sat down this jama'at? And what are they doing? They're remembering Allah. I don't know you, you don't know me. We haven't come here for a social. And we came here because we knew there would be a dhikr in this masjid. We sat down, we do salam, dua with each other. We don't. Many of us don't know each other. I don't even know your names. And many people don't know other people's names. But Allah's karam and mercy that we've sat down in one place. And after sitting down, Allah Ta'ala has made us do dhikr. And after doing dhikr, we haven't even got up. Behind us, the seal, the stamp of approval will be stamped onto the back that I have forgiven you. Allah Ta'ala says, where in a nation, in a place, in an environment, where people say, oh, this is impure, or people aren't Muslims, but it doesn't matter. Allah says, you're living here and I've forgiven you. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala has opened so many paths for us, so many methods for us, that we people of Iman shouldn't even think for a second that I'm going to go to Jahannam. Impossible. It cannot be. It cannot be. So brothers, we shouldn't waste time. So if we've committed sins, then let's do dua. Let's pray to Allah, that Allah, in our hearts, please instill the love of your pious servant, your wali into our hearts. And shaitan won't let that love to come into our hearts. I've seen many times when a person goes to a wali Allah's company, then after a few moments, shaitan whispers into that person's own heart, oh, I'm starting to think against you, Shaykh. I'm getting bad whispers against you. And everything that is good about you, I'll get negative thoughts. This is bidah, this is innovation, shirk, this is against Quran. And such shak and doubt shaitan and nafs will instill into us. And I don't even have the energy then to go and ask that shaykh, is this right or wrong? And then the shaitan will make us run away from the company. Isn't it? So then shaitan, he closes that route to that pious wali Allah. But Allah says, my servant, this is a very easy method for you, that all you need is the love of my wali, of a shaykh. When we see that we start to love a wali Allah, this love is without any conditions. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say giving money, give him chanda, give him a deposit or put money into his pocket, or give him this XYZ as a gift, because tax is everywhere in the world nowadays, isn't it? Commissions and fees, or please him, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, give him money, a deposit, or a house, or a shop, or a business running. Thousands of things people in the world ask for as commissions and fees for their services, but the condition here is that there's no fee or commission. Allah says the basis of your love for the wali of Allah should be just for the Allah's sake. And where it's done for Allah's sake, then there'll be nothing apart from the dhikr of Allah in the company. When you go to a wali Allah, if you're loving that wali Allah for the sake of Allah, then all you will see in this company is dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, and nothing else at all. Nothing else. There's no taking or giving or taking, no chanda, no charity, no hoarding, no accumulating, nothing. It's all for the sake of Allah. Straight away you go, alhamdulillah, you sit down. The love of Allah, for the sake of Allah, you sit down in the company of the wali Allah, and this is for the sake of Allah's love. Allah Ta'ala then increases his love, because when the love with the shaykh increases, when your love for the wali Allah increases, then Allah Ta'ala accepts all of your du'as, your efforts, your requirements. And the shaykh will only say to you once, that praise Allah. He'll say it out of love, because that love, that bond between the student and the shaykh is out of love. And then the student says, yes, I will inshallah pray. Why won't I pray? Before that he never prayed, but he'll say, yes, I will pray. Oh, keep the beard, lengthen your beard. It's for your goodness. Yes, yes, inshallah, the student says, I will keep the beard. Because the shaykh is saying it out of love. It's for the bond of love. But if you give 10,000 speeches to that student, he'll try to run out the back door. Oh, Mulana Sahib's come. Let's quickly run away. Yeah, when we see the Maulvi, Mulana Sahib, Imam Sahib, we'll say, praise Allah, do X, Y, Z. But when there's a connection between the student and the wali Allah of love, then the student will go closer to the wali Allah. And he'll observe, he'll implement the instructions of the teacher. And this is all for the sake of Allah. So this is such a tariqah method to get close to Allah. The Allah Ta'ala himself says that I love this path, I love this method, I love this method of a student going to a wali Allah, pious servant of Allah, making a connection, becoming a student and taking his advices and instructions. Allah says, if you love my wali for my sake, Allah says, then you will be able to implement Islam easily. So let's do dua to Allah, my friends, that Allah Ta'ala gives us good, the company of good pious people, and we should appreciate this fact. And whether it's whispering, coming into our ears and hearts from shaitan and nafs, we should ignore that. Because The shaykh, the teacher, is not talking to you about dunya. He's not asking for material wealth or payment or fees. No, this is just for the dhikr of Allah. So a person shouldn't fear or wilt or shake, I'm sinful, how will I be improved? Subhanallah, this cannot be. I say that this cannot be at all, because that a person, if he follows this path, this formula, then he will be able to follow and get close to Allah and His Rasul. I give the guarantee that he will never leave this dunya unsuccessful. It's not possible at all. This is Allah's promise that if you follow the path of Allah and go to the company of Allah, Wali Allah, for the sake of Allah, then you will never leave this dunya without success. Rather, you will leave this world with success upon success. So brothers, the first point that we should do dua to Allah, that we get the love of the Wali of Allah in our hearts, and then we should go to His company and we should follow His instruction with istiqamah, steadfastness, and then that love will increase and inshallah we will get successful. Because shaitan, he is a minor, his instructions and whispering is nothing. If we take steps towards the Wali Allah and follow His instructions, then all of the big habits or bad habits, they will disappear. And you'll start to hate those bad habits. I won't feel like doing this many hours. I used to sit down and watch images, bad images, impure images. Oh, but now I've got so much love for Allah and His Rasul and the love of my Shaykh, and now I will never go towards those sins because I start to dislike them. I've disliked them now. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.